First, I'll start off by saying good morning and thank you for coming out today. I know it's pretty early in the morning. The paper I'm presenting today is on the topic of women, specifically the impact of mission work on the lives of the women in India. We can pretty much all agree that British colonialism can be seen as having a huge impact in reshaping the lives of many. It also had a significant impact on liberating the lives of women, especially those in India. Many scholars have written on the subject of Indian women in terms of their degradation and enslavement to a patriarchal world. Others have commented that these women were not degraded in the way that we would think. These women had significant roles in traditions and rituals, and the British missionaries refused to comprehend this notion that they had these significant roles, as they saw their roles as being acts of heathenism because they were not Christian in any sense of Western ideals. Although the argument can be made that missionaries in India could have a negative effect on Indian women through taking away these traditional rights known and taught to them and by replacing them with their superior ideals of Christianity, this paper aims to explain how these women missionaries changed the course of the Indian woman's life by emancipating her in terms of the norm of metropolitan ideologies of femininity and womanhood. Although this paper does not go into the details of the other side of the argument, I would like to acknowledge that mission work used the treatment of women as a justification for them to take control. Even though this was the case, they still were able to emancipate these women, and this is why I've chosen my topic as so. This way of emancipating these Indian women is known as the white woman's burden. Through explaining the brutal acts of sati, child marriage, seclusion, and position of Indian women in society as a whole, an argument can be made that missionaries were bound to emancipate these women because of their Western ideals and Christian faith. These women missionaries were trying to awaken their Indian sisters and show them life as these British missionaries knew it. And this was brutalizing and demoralizing to any human being. The position of women in India was seen as being no better than that of a slave. Through education, medicine, and the word of Christ, these missionaries were able to emancipate these women and show them freedoms they had rarely witnessed before. This enabled Indian women to leave behind their enslavement, which allowed for them to better their lives. I felt that it was important to discuss how and why these Indian women were so degraded within society. A better level of understanding can be reached so that it makes this idea more clear as to why these missionaries felt it was their duty to help their Indian sisters. Sharma discusses the position of women in India through analyzing ancient times and comparing it to the time shortly before and during the arrival of women missionaries. In ancient India, women were given some kind of dignified consideration. Shortly after this, these women were subjected to control once the Brahmas, who were male dominant, became head of society. The Brahmas felt that in order to control society, women had to be controlled, as before they came to power, women played a major role in rituals and had a higher level of status in India. This is when, according to Sharma, that women were deprived of their religious rights and eventually were subjected to seclusion in a patriarchal system. This shift from freedom and stature happened so early on that Indian women during colonialism had no sense of what it was like to be free and to have roles in society. Because of seclusion and lack of education, these women were unable to see what freedoms they could have. The limitation of rights is exactly what the Brahmas wanted, as it was a means for control. Another way of understanding the plight of Indian women was through education, because it was through missionary education that these women were able to learn the meaning of their roles in society, their rituals, and their religion, and they were able to find a sense of equality and what equality actually meant. Many missionaries faced problems in educating Indian women because the lines of communication were impossible to use due to the seclusion of Indian women. Karen Smith states that women missionaries were necessary for communication since Indian women were not allowed to speak to men outside of their families. Men had no way of communicating the word of the gospel, so they would educate the women missionaries and to be able to go and talk to these women. Another problem that they had faced was in the case of poor women who had a different dialect of Indian men. In Indian culture, especially Hinduism, women were seen as very sexualized, and the idea that a man being alone with a woman without her family around could possibly lead to temptations. This is the main reason why women were secluded and lived in zananis, or high caste houses, which were women-only quarters. They were also to be accompanied by a male from their immediate family and no one else. Also, by secluding these women, it was easier to control them in every aspect of their lives. Many missionaries trained Bible women who were Christian converts to go to these high caste houses to teach the word of the gospel and to help in educating these women. In the beginning, women missionary actions had extremely high numbers of converts, but found that even with high numbers, nothing was really being accomplished because most of the converts were poor and uneducated. Without power backing up these converts, it was impossible to make an impact on any aspect of society. Lower caste citizens usually do not have a say in the way society is run in any culture, in any time of history, usually. By educating these poor individuals, they are able to use them to get into these high caste houses to educate these Indian women of society who are in the upper classes. The reason they used these lower caste women to get into the high caste houses and educate was due to the issue of seclusion, as well as the issue of men, outside men and women of non-Hindu faith being unable to come in. By educating these high caste Indian women, it was sure to lead to more power and stability within Indian society and gave these missionaries a firmer foot in the door of Christianization. Because literacy was so low amongst these women, missionaries felt more strongly that it was their duty to educate so that they could understand what the rituals they were doing were and that they were involved in, as these rituals and traditions had led to their seclusion in the first place. Through access to these houses, missionaries were able to teach them how to read and write so that they could learn the message of Christ themselves. It was important in the conversion of these women that they knew what it was they were converting to. So long had these women been uneducated because of their seclusion, so for these missionaries not to educate them as well would be like doing the same thing all over again, just with Western ideals. Seclusion was an important aspect to why missionaries felt they had to emancipate these Indian women, for this was like slavery in their eyes. The high caste houses symbolized slavery in its entirety because, just like slaves, they had no role, education, or part of society in any regard. By liberating Indian women, Western ideals could be easier to maintain within Indian society. Many colleges were erected during this time to help educate women and to maintain this idea of awakening them and creating a social reform towards freeing them from their shackles they had been so used to. These women missionaries also thought it was important to educate these Indian women so that they could delay the process of marriage. Girls were usually taken out of their homes and put in boarding schools, and it was here that the rules changed on the idea of child marriages in Indian society. Of course, child marriages were regarded negatively by women missionaries, and probably by a lot of people at the time. Marriage at a later age was seen as being proper and healthy in terms of Western ideals. The custom of child marriage dated back to ancient times. The father would try to marry his daughter off at the youngest age possible so that he could gain higher status in society. As young as 8 years old was the age in which a girl could be married off. Some were even married at younger ages. Women missionaries were appalled by this, as they knew that in Western society, the consenting age to marry was significantly higher, so that a girl was able to be at an age of maturity before marriage. This took away the very ideals of childhood, forcing women to marry men they did not know and oppressing them to become wives so young. Women missionaries worked hard to abolish this tradition, whether it was through taking girls and educating them in these boarding schools, which made the consenting age of marriage 17 years of age, or by pushing for acts and laws to be passed. Child marriage was also an issue to missionaries because women were not allowed to remarry once their husbands had passed on. This was a notion that was not familiar to the Western world, as they were allowed to remarry without any stigmas. Some were even forced to participate in a ritual called sati, where a woman would give her life on the funeral pyre of her deceased husband so that she could follow him into the afterlife. And this was seen as brutal because most of these women were forced physically or through guilt. These were both seen as degrading to Indian women and to Indian society in general through the missionaries' eyes. Once widowed, if not performing sati, a woman had no rights to remarry and was usually thrown out of her in-law's house and made to find her own means of living. Of course, being secluded, you can't find a job once you're kicked out, so this leads to poverty. Abuse was also common amongst these young Indian women because it was easier to do so. When you're 8 years old, you can't really have a voice or say. Treatment of widows, sati, and child marriage were all issues that these missionaries saw as being the victimized status of Indian women, and they often compared this to the freedoms enjoyed by British women. This was a way in which women missionaries could justify their efforts in India, and this clearly shows emancipation was needed, as no human should have to go through this. The most significant steps that were taken by these missionary women was their ability to awaken the slumbering giant of Indian womanhood to consciousness. They did this through the work of medicine. This not only emancipated Indian women, but also changed the lives of missionary women as well. Missionary women often left their countries in order to find work in fields mostly occupied by men. Many women went into the medical profession, as most Indian men would refuse their wives and female children access to male doctors. Again, we see this notion that women were highly sexualized, which leads back to the idea that men would be weakened by the sexualization of a woman. Many women also refused to see male doctors, as it was against their traditions as they knew them, and it was because of this that women missionaries pressed for more female involvement in the medical field. With new ideas sprang an awareness for more sanitation and cleanliness in order to stop the spread of diseases. Alison Bashford argues that it was through mission work that these Indian women were able to transform their lives and emancipate themselves through the work of medicine. More women were able to improve their lives by increasing their knowledge of midwifery, hygiene, cleanliness, and sanitation, which in turn led to less spread of diseases because Indian women were able to see professional women for help with childbirth. This also changed ideals of Indian men because now they were able to see how important these aspects were in maintaining a more healthy lifestyle. Medicine transformed all aspects of missionaries and Indian people's lives and is very important. Concern with the health of the natives is a significant burden of colonial policy. Leslie Fleming states that Indian women had little access to medical care, and by making this a concern for the missionaries, these medical facilities became more available. This idea of medicine and women missionary ties into the other aspects discussed earlier on because it promoted more education, less seclusion, and more transformation of the Indian woman. Indian women were finding themselves learning more about medicine as they could use it to better the health of other Indian women. So now you have Indian women able to go into these high caste houses, able to give proper health care to secluded women, and also attempt to give them some form of education. One thing historians can agree upon is that the colony of India was drastically changed due to British colonialism. A very significant impact can be seen on behalf of the many missionaries who came to India in order to teach the word of the gospel and to Christianize the heathen, as they so called them. Many different views can be taken from the missionary efforts in colonial settings. Did they actually save these native peoples from suffering and oppression, or did they merely create a new type of suffering for them? This paper argued that missionary efforts can be seen as a new light in the emancipation of Indian women. They not only improved the education of women in India, they also removed oppressing traditions like sati and child marriage. Sharma believes that Indian women were given the chance to create a spirit of reform with their contact with Western ideals. Missionaries awakened these women. With years of seclusion, women were controlled by men, and through missionaries, the age-old evils and handicaps that were pushed upon these women were removed, and emancipation of Indian women happened. Missionaries were also able to emphasize their sense for the need of change by focusing on the seclusion of women and by also focusing on old traditions and lack of health care. The emancipation imbued a sense of dignity and freedom of these women and taught them that it was not right to submit to inequalities based on sex, birth, caste, creed, or community. The missionaries had the intention of saving the souls of these women and to bring them closer to Christ, and as discussed, they were able to do this through medical and educational means. Because the culture of India was so different from that of Western culture, more attention was paid to Christianizing these people. But without this Christianization through mission work, women of India would still be living under the old traditions and laws, being secluded, not receiving adequate health care, uneducated and left to child marriage and early widowhood that led to poverty. Emancipation was a huge step in setting equality within India. Before the impact of missionaries in India, most of her daughters were unwelcomed at their birth, untaught in childhood, enslaved when married, accursed as widows, and unlaminated at their death. These missionary women helped to free Indian women and gave them the step they needed to better their lives and to give them equality. And that's